Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Alongside Carlos Ortiz with Marco Belletti, it's great to have you here. The NBA this weekend, we saw a bunch of game ones on Saturday. We saw a bunch of game ones on Sunday. Tonight, we are getting some game twos. One already in the books. The Pistons tied things up in New York. Big night for Cade Cunningham, who had 33 points, 12 boards, 3 assists, couple of steals. Really good night for him. Out-dueled Jalen Brunson, who did have 37, but it was not enough. The 94 points, 6 shy of the Pistons' 100. They go back to Detroit later in the week with the series split at 1. The other game tonight is the Nuggets and the Clippers. 4 minutes and 41 seconds remaining in the first half. Nuggets have a 42-39 lead. Jamal Murray leading the way right now with 10 for Detroit. And Kawhi Leonard leading the way with 14. They need more out of Norm Powell, who was a really good scorer for them throughout the season. Had just 12 points in game one, 5 of 12 shooting. Need a little bit more of him. He was held scoreless down the stretch as well. He has not been able to do much, just 3 points today. James Harden, really, only with 2 as well. Right now, three turnovers, 2 points. No, James. Gotta put more in the points column for you guys to win this game tonight. So those are the games tonight. Tomorrow, we will have Bucks Pacers. That will dictate my mood when I come on the air. We'll have Memphis and Oklahoma City. And then we'll have the Lakers and Timberwolves to watch together tomorrow night. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Want to get into some NFL draft in a little bit, but the streets are wanting to talk NBA, and I keep my ear to the pavement. Let's get out to Wichita and talk to Caleb. 888-710-4476. Hello, Caleb.
Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
So I was wanting to talk about the Warriors and Steph Curry's legacy and how he fits into the GOAT debate with Jordan and LeBron. So Jordan obviously has 6 rings. Curry and LeBron both have 4. In my opinion, I think Curry and LeBron, if Curry goes on another run, they should both be ahead of Jordan because they played against other, like, GOAT candidates, if that makes sense.
Ooh. So we're talking LeBron, Curry, like a 1-2 and then a Jordan 3?
Yeah, and then I'm thinking, like, Curry 1 over LeBron since he has more chips and has beat him in the finals.
Yeah, Curry's interesting. I think I'm just looking at some lists where people have Curry ranked all time. I think there's like a tendency to put him high, but still kind of keep him out of the top 10. I don't know if people think. There's more to Curry's game than just knocking down crazy threes. But I don't know that he gets the same kind of love. I think it's going to be hard for people to say, okay, he's better than Wilt. He's better than Bill Russell. He's better than Kareem. And now you look at Curry and you look at those guys and they're different height and weight and stuff.
Well, I think Curry, he had a slower start to his NBA career. You know, he was drafted in 2008. I'm a Warriors fan living in Kansas. It's a little weird, but I'm 18. I started playing basketball. Like around the age they were winning a bunch of titles. So,
yeah.
Know, fun to play video games with. So, I've always had a kind of a prejudice towards him, but I think that he is
in a good way.
Like, yeah. He's the more like generational talent than LeBron because he's affected the game more than LeBron has. LeBron just does everything the traditional way. Whereas Curry, like against Houston last night, he hit all those circus shots. I'm sure you watched the game, but it was just insane. And he does it all the time.
Yeah, it's a good question. We'll see how this plays out. Caleb, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening. It's a good question. Here, I'll pull this up. Now, this is from 2022, but history is a long game here. This is what they at ESPN had ranked. And then I can give you Hoops Hype, too. I can give you a couple different ones. But this is what they had ranked, and then we'll find where Curry is. So they go Michael Jordan 1, and this was after the top 75 list came out. So the top 75, remember that came out, and then they ranked the players on it. They go Jordan 1, LeBron 2, Kareem 3, Magic 4, Wilt 5, Bill Russell 6, Bird 7, Tim Duncan 8, Oscar Robertson 9. We get to Kobe at 10. Shaq 11, 12 Durant, 13 Hakeem, 14 Dr. J, 15 Moses Malone, 16 Steph Curry. Right ahead of Dirk, Giannis, and Jerry West. Hoops Hype came out, this is last year, with greatest players of all time. Number one, LeBron. I agree. Number two, Jordan. I'm sorry. Number three, Kareem. Four, Magic. Five, Russell. Six, Wilt. See, it's the same kind of guys. Seven, Larry. Eight, Kobe. Nine, Shaq. 10, Tim Duncan. Hakeem at 11. Durant at 12. And then Curry at 13. Right ahead of Oscar Robertson, Karl Malone, Moses Malone, Kevin Garnett, Jerry West, Dirk. You know, and here's the thing, too. Like, I'm a guy who thinks that Giannis needs to be higher on these lists coming in the lower 20s. There's going to be a lot of people like, what if Denver goes on a run and then Jokic gets another one? Especially in a year where they fired their coach. Like Jokic is the, of those three guys I've just mentioned, Jokic, Steph, and Giannis. Jokic is the one that I feel like people are going to be more willing to put higher and to break into this Wilt, Russell, Magic, Kareem, LeBron, Jordan group. Curry, I think, just based off of how they've been viewed up to this point. And yeah, winning another title would be huge for Steph. In a couple of weeks, I kind of want to take a look at what that list might be, who might be more impacted legacy-wise in a good way if they can win another championship or a championship. But I would think that based on the people that make these lists and based on the general consensus, and look, you can put Curry in the top three all you want. You can. It's your list. But I think that of those three that I mentioned, Jokic is the guy who 25 years from now, people will, he'll be in the top 10. I've got my problems with that. I think that, you know, I think he had the, so I think SGA should be the MVP. Jokic did have like the best statistical season ever. I don't know. I feel like people want Jokic. I've talked about this. I just feel like people, and I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying he's not an MVP. I just want some of the Jokic love to go to Giannis sometimes. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And that's what happens when you're a fan of a team and you have your biases, whether it's for Giannis, me, or Steph with our caller. Let's get to Johnny. He's in Atlanta, 888-710 for ISN. Johnny.
What's going on, man? I was excited for this weekend playoff start. I was disappointed, man. It was more blowouts than anything. Like, dude, nobody came and showed up to play. Not even the Lakers. Definitely not the Grizzlies. I think they stayed Friday night. So I was disappointed. This weekend wasn't except the Detroit and New York was all right. That was a good little series, but. Now, I don't know how you felt about it, but I think it was very disappointing because it was nobody showed up to play. Doggo Kyle Kuzma was just having cardio out there. I'm a Pacers fan. I like, come on, man. Y'all could have did better than this, man. He was
That was a – I think, Johnny, I think after, like, Well, maybe by the end of the first quarter, it's like, okay, they're not. But Milwaukee's not winning this game.
They're not winning the series, but every game was over by the second quarter. From the Lakers game to the Bucks, the Grizzlies got blew out by the OKC second string. SGA didn't even have to touch the court. The Celtics finished the Orlando's off like in the second quarter. Miami was over with. Like, come on, man. Like, did they even show up to play? Like, I know the play. I agree about the people who came playing and playing. Sunday night should have been a lot of blowouts. But doggone, Saturday night, it should have been some competition. Like, okay, y'all's number three, number six seed. Should have competed. But the Timberwolves just ran through the Lakers like ain't nothing. Everybody boosted up on Luka and LeBron. Like, come on, man. I'm very disappointed right now. They got to show me. They got to do better.
Well, yeah, there were a lot of blowouts. Way too many blowouts, Johnny. Good to hear from you. Way too many blowouts. But you're adding, I mean, half of the conferences are making the playoffs. That's what you're going to get. The Miami Heat had a record of 37-45. They're playing the 64-win Cavaliers. Like, what's the difference there? 27 wins? A 27-win difference? If we had a playoffs where it was, you know, top six, maybe you see the Pacers-Bucks matchup and the Pistons-Knicks matchup, and then the winners play on a bye, Celtics or Cavs. You wouldn't do that in the NBA. What if we only had four teams? What if only four teams made the playoffs? Pacers-Cavs right away, Celtics-Knicks, Thunder-Nuggets, Lakers-Rockets. But we have this other round. It's seven games. I don't know. It's just the way that the talent's spread out. There's really good teams that are playing teams that aren't that good. And in the West, you know, Memphis did win 48 games. But still, the Thunder are an elite team. Of course they're going to do this. Warriors beat Houston, but Warriors also made a trade and changed the makeup of their team at the deadline. So had they had a full season of this, maybe they'd be one of the more premier teams coming in to the playoffs. Yeah, again, we always want everything to be great. It was disappointing that the games weren't that good. As the playoffs go further, we will get the kind of matchups that we're looking for, just like we saw in March Madness collegiately. Now, the Knicks and Pistons series, game one was tight, and then the Knicks went on like a 21-0 run, so that's going to change things. But the Pistons responded tonight, 100-94. And I got to think there's going to be some panic from Knicks fans. Let's talk to Mark, who is in California. What do you think? What do we think about the New York Knicks there, Mark?
So the Knicks traded five first round picks for Allen Crabbe. Okay. literally, it's raining in New York City right now. God is crying because the Knicks lost. Okay, that's what's happening. But
so Bridges is Allen Crabbe.
Yeah, man. Listen, if you watch this game, he's 3-for-11. He missed 9 straight catch-and-shoot threes. Like, there was that one point where, you know, Josh Hart stole the ball like a trillion times, and he would just pass it to Bridges, and Bridges inconceivably just takes a jump three, and it's not even close. And then there was that one play where Josh Hart got the rebound, Bridges was open, he had OG and Brunson in the corner. He decided to go on Cade, who, by the way, is bigger than him. Jalen Duran, who, by the way, is bigger than him. And they both swat the ball. Like, all he could have did was just dish it out. And then at the end of the game, Brunson doesn't take that shot. Makes no sense. Instead, guess who shoots it, Bart? Mikal Bridges with a jump shot three. He misses again for the 9th.
I can't believe you called him Allen Crabbe. You know, Allen Crabbe played for the Knicks. The Westchester Knicks. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's literally, in my opinion, it's the worst Knicks trade they've made in a very long time. And what's crazy about that is that OG and, well, not just OG, because he didn't play half a good game, but listen, is his first bad game in, like, forever, right? Last year he was injured, so I'm not even counting that. But in the second half, you have Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges, and they combined for a mind-blowing 6 points in the second half. 6 points. That's it.
Remember when the Knicks traded for Mikal Bridges? Weren't people excited about that?
I wasn't, because at the end of the day, like, I understand you get the defense and you're getting a guy who's going to average 16 to 17 points, but you want to know who would have gave you those 16 to 17 points? His name is Dante DiVincenzo, and you traded him away for, I mean, you didn't even really have to trade him. And so Dante makes that shot tonight, but just, it's inconceivable how literally Brunson does not shoot the shot. And I would have lived and died if he would have missed it. I would have been like, okay, you know what? He's off, whatever. But the Knicks were just so stagnant on offense. So I'm not panicking, but I am panicking because it could be 2-0. It literally could be 2-0 right now. And you saw last year the reason why Minnesota got rid of Pat was because of why. Because the same thing. He just couldn't space the ball. Like, there was a lot of times where he was just sitting there, non-existent on offense. So...
Man, why are 4 first round picks unprotected?
Yeah.
And then a swap.
It's gross. And guess what? Now there's talks where if the Knicks lose, watch out, man, because Kevin Durant might be coming to New York. Because what they're going to do is they're going to swap probably OG and Mikal Bridges for Kevin Durant. And that would be like the move that would supposedly put the Knicks over the top. You have Brunson, Kat, and Kevin Durant. But I would stay away from that. But there's a lot of pieces that could be moved. Because listen, if the Bucks get bounced, I know you don't want to hear it.
Don't say it. That's not happening. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't.
I feel
say it.
So bad because, I mean, listen, I was one of the biggest supporters when Dame came over. I was like, this is going to work. 100%. I was like, there's no way.
Knicks can have Dame. No, I don't. You can have Dame. Go ahead and have Dame.
Well, I thought it was going to work with Dame and Giannis.
It still might. They have not yet played a playoff game together still, so we'll see. We'll see if that happens tomorrow.
But, you know, Detroit's young, but here's what I'm saying. I've been saying this from day one. Knicks should be blowing out the Pistons. They're inconceivably better on almost every single position on the court. And they're hanging around with this team. And if you look at these last 8 quarters, you could argue that maybe the Knicks won 1 quarter. Detroit has literally dominated this series from the opening quarter to the last quarter. It's been very, very close.
Got a couple of days to rest. Mark, good to talk to you. A couple of days to rest. And then game 3 in Detroit on Thursday. Just looking at some of the reaction online, here's a tweet that says the Knicks could have had something nice going if they didn't trade 90% of their assets for Mikal Bridges. Dean is real, says, I would trade Mikal straight up for Dante, RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, or Quentin Grimes right now. Jay Dumas reports, Mikal Bridges is a solid role player and every team can use a guy like him. But, man, did the trade market overvalue him a lot. I got a Nets fan here, LSN France. That Mikal Bridges trade was such a fleece. He can't score. He can't defend. He's useless to the Knicks. This is great. Chief 7183 says, the fact that 5 firsts for Mikal Bridges isn't even the worst trade of the season. Once again, thank you, Nico Harrison. So that seems to be where the vitriol is going to be spun to with Knicks fans. But this is the team you got. And the team you got should still beat Detroit. But we shall see. When you give the underdog life, that's when the series gets started. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I'll take a look at this Nuggets and Clippers series and what a Nuggets win might mean. Remember, the Clippers are my sneaky click to pick. I don't know what I'm picking them for or how long I'm picking them to click, but I am keeping my eye on the Clippers here. in the postseason. They lost in overtime game one, currently up at halftime by 3 in game number 2. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
That was Carlos Ortiz after Eli Manning's first start with the Giants. He turned on Eli so quickly. Now, that was week one of this previous season. What happened in that game? Daniel Jones, didn't he throw like an interception? He threw an interception from the red zone, or the end zone.
It was Kyle Van Ginkle. He jumped the route, and it was like the easiest like pick six he'll ever have in his life.
Yeah, I think he's going by Andrew these days. But
I don't care.
I think what you did was you thought of Kyle Van Noy.
Kyle Van Noy, and like I basically like gumbied them where you like stick the two clay figures together and made a new person.
Gumby,
Andrew,
by the way.
Definitely Van Ginkle.
Gumby, I referenced Gumby to somebody recently, and they go, "Who?
I mean,
Gumby?
We're not far removed from Gumby. Let's not act like it, I said Stretch Armstrong or something like arbitrary. People know what Gumby is.
When did the Gumby TV show air? Gumby was awesome. There were a few different versions of Gumby, including the 99 episodes that ran between January 2nd and December 31st, 1988. It had also ran. So the first season of Gumby aired on NBC in 1956. The second season ran in syndication from 1960 to 1968, and the third season ran from January to December of 1988. I've always been a big Gumby guy, I will say.
I've never seen one episode of Gumby. I know of Gumby because of the Gumby parody that Mad TV did. Talk about obscure references.
Yeah, no. I bet you less people remember Mad TV.
Mad TV could have been like the adult alternative to Saturday Night Live, but you know, Fox fumbling shows as they usually do.
What I liked on Gumby were the Blockheads. Do you know them?
I do recall the Blockheads as the Colorado Avalanche take a go-ahead goal 3-2 against the Dallas Stars for your 60 seconds of hockey here.
Nice. I gave them some lip service before. The Blockheads look like Gumby, although they're red and then their heads are blocks.
Yep.
And they're usually they're like Blockhead J.
They're usually like angry, right? Like the Blockheads?
Yeah, they're like Gumby's enemies.
Gumby's ops, you would say.
Yeah, I might turn Gumby on and see if the kid likes Gumby. What do
we
watch today?
Any other shows from the 80s you want to introduce your son to other than Gumby? Why don't you put on Alf while you're at it?
Alf would be good. It'd be better than what we watched today, which was 5 YouTube stars play a board game in their house. But like a giant board game where they like have to do challenges. And my God.
Yeah. The content sucks nowadays. What are we doing?
There's too much. There's too much of it.
There's too much and none of it's good. Well, I don't want to say that. Very little of it is good.
Yeah, we're borderline. I don't know.
People, if they even know who we are.
Yeah. We're like a pearl at the bottom of the ocean. If you find us, it's worth it. You gotta swim pretty deep. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life. I'm sure they're thrilled. The easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Who do you think I'll run into when I go to the draft? Should I try to go say hi to Pat McAfee? I'm mad about Pat McAfee.
I think you should say hi and then give him a sweet chin music right to the face.
I'm watching his show today, and there are things that aired live on ESPN during lunchtime that I can't air right now. That, I think, is unfair. I wouldn't run some of the things that were said on the show today. Insults to people in the crowd, swear words, obviously. I just don't know. Like, the ESPN that I grew up with. I'm just stunned. every time I watch the show, the stuff that, they get away with, even when Rogers is on there. Maybe I'll go say hi. I probably won't. I'll probably get shy. 888-7-10-4-ISN, 888-710-4-4-7-6. NBA playoffs, second half now tied at 59 between the Clippers and the Nuggets. Mitch is in New Jersey. What's up, Mitch?
How you doing, bud? Originally from Staten Island, New York.
Well, it's important to know. Good.
You're right. More minutia, right? Chapter 22.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers, can they, it's 5-on-5, not 3-on-5. And then how about the bench also contributing at least with defense? You know, if they just reversed the three-point shooting, let them shoot close to 50% and keep them on the shooting 40%, they might have won the game. But you notice LeBron had 19 points, zero fouls. Does he know that he can't roll the fouls over to the next game? Can he make an effort? And they also let him slide by a couple of times. I saw when they're replaying his layups, he took at least three steps. Back in my day, and it's going quite a bit far back there, is it more than two steps of walk, travel?
It's like a step and a gather. There's a lot of video that I've seen where it looks like a travel, but then like it's not somehow. I don't know. I've given up on travels.
Well, the game's long enough as it is. And one thing on college football, now the other younger brother, they had him, UCLA I'm talking about. UCLA had they got Nico Iamaleava. I'm saying that right?
Yeah.
Manon has decided to flip. I think like if these students at least play 3-4 years, I think they're going to be on 6 or 7 teams. It's getting to be a little crazy to keep up.
Yeah, Mitch, thanks for the call. It's pretty obnoxious. It actually ended up being a trade situation, unofficially, because then there's a quarterback that just transferred to UCLA in December that is now going to dip out because Nico's coming there. And so he's going to go to Tennessee. Joey Aguilar, who had transferred from, I will find it for you because it's important and you're all hanging on the edge, Appalachian State. Started his career in Diablo Valley and then App State and then going to Tennessee, not UCLA, where, I guess, what did he take classes there? I don't know. Is he still in school? This is all so confusing and just a mess. Every time, all the time. Hey, but at least they're getting paid. 888-710-4-ISN, 888-710-4476. Marco Belletti's on the updates. Marco, how are we going to, is this going to be like 0-for-5 Juan Soto type of overreaction in New York with this Knicks loss, or what are we expecting?
Yeah, a little bit. There's going to be a little bit of that. Look, the fact that they lost is not good. The fact that you lose at home is not good. I was annoyed by the effort, and I was annoyed by the fact that they were so distracted by the officials and trying to get every call. So yeah, I still expect them to win the series, but I could see why everybody would be up in arms tonight because this was a pitiful display. They've played two games. They've been outplayed in 7 out of the 8 quarters.
They have been, and I don't know if you know this about me, but I am better at watching NBA playoff basketball than a lot of people. I just understand the ebbs and flows of a series better than a lot of people, and I think the Knicks will be fine in this series.
Look, playoff basketball, you're right, is probably the one that leads to the most overreaction because it's a game of runs and every little play and every little thing, and you swing with the emotions. If you actually watch all 48 minutes, you're going to swing back and forth 100 times. I get it. But this was not a good look for the Knicks tonight.
No, it wasn't. I still don't think that they're going to beat Boston. So if you want to worry about that, I mean, go ahead. But good for the Pistons.
I think that's where maybe you're somewhat the emotions is tempered. I was talking to Ryan Hickey a little bit before, so one of our colleagues. The hard part for the Knicks fan going in, you expect them to beat the Pistons. You don't want it to be 7, but even if it is, whatever, you expect them to win the series. Their max is the next round because they can't beat Boston. So there is a little bit of the, I'm annoyed tonight, but really, how far is this going to go? Because they can't. They can't They're going to go as far as they've been the last 3 years, and they're never going to get past the Celtics. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, like the Bucks lost the other day, and I was like, well, yep, that's how this is going to go, well, probably.
I mean, look, they're not going to probably get past the Pacers, but even if they did, there's the ceiling because they're not getting past the Cavs. So you're right. Yeah, they're... Unfortunately, there is some of that. When you go into, you know, think about football, you think, oh, it's one gay, so that's maybe you can trick yourself. And if they get the right matchup, no, you're not. So they're basketball. You're eventually the best team is going to rise. You're not better than these other teams. You're eventually going to lose in a 7-game series. So the Knicks, the Bucks, they're in that same area. Hey, maybe it's the second round. Congrats for the Knicks. I think it's a little different. The Bucks should probably blow it up anyway. That's a different conversation. The Knicks, if they lose to the Pistons, they're going to blow this up, and that's a problem because they just built it.
Well, you traded all those picks for Mikal Bridges. I think that's going to be the conversation. We had a caller ranting about that already.
Yeah, and that's definitely part of it, Carl Anthony Towns, because he changed the toughness because they're not tough anymore, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that your guy in the middle is soft, Charmin soft. So that's part of it, but I also think Tibbs would be gone. They lose in the first round, Tibbs is out. And that changes the dynamic. You know as well as I do. That just changes. I don't know how many players can go because I don't know how many trades they can make. But with Tibbs gone and Jalen Brunson loving him and he's your captain and Josh Hart, there's going to be a different look to this team because they're not going to be led by the same supposed toughness that they had until they got Karl Anthony Towns.
Here's a note for you. This is the Pistons' first playoff victory since game four of the 2008 Eastern Conference Finals.
That's sad.
Their first playoff win in 17 years.
That's wow. Sad.
Yeah, I didn't even see playoffs. That. They made the playoffs in the next year, but then they got swept by the Cavs. Then they didn't make the playoffs again until 16, swept by the Cavs. Made the playoffs in 19, swept by the Bucks. Yeah, 2008 Game 4. Wow.
Ooh.
So there's a dad in Detroit tonight who had a kid and has been raising his kid to be a Pistons fan. And this is the first time that that kid has seen a Pistons victory. And that kid is a year away from buying lottery tickets. He is 17 years old.
And he drove there. Oof.
Yeah, and he drove there. Oof. He drove to see his dad. Okay. Wow. Well, congrats to the Pistons at least for that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. An update from Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Coming up, some good intel on what we may expect from the NFL draft, as this is the week of the NFL draft. So we're starting to see some moving, some shaking, and I know not everybody here is a big gambler, but the draft odds do sort of give us an indication of who may go where, and the Jacksonville Jaguars getting interesting discussions coming out of what they may do at pick number 5. We've been thinking, oh, they'll take a defensive tackle, okay. Could they go offense? And which position would they go? Maybe wide receiver? Maybe Ashton Jeanty, running back? It's going to be interesting. Going to be very interesting to see how that goes down. We'll have some more details on what you can expect coming up on Thursday when we get into Tuesday here on the East Coast. In Monday for the rest, you know how I hate that we split days. It's very confusing for me. I'm a dumb head. Tuesday is an important day. In San Francisco, this is the date where they begin their offseason program. Still no sign from Brock Purdy if he's going to show up or not. Mike Silver of The Athletic reporting that the Niners and Brock Purdy have made some progress. That's the quote, some progress toward a contract extension. If Purdy shows up, it's a sign Purdy and his agent are confident they're close to a deal. No decision's been made that we know of if Purdy is going to show up. I get different emails to help me prepare for my show. I get the newsletter from MLB.com. I get the newsletter from NBA.com. I get the newsletter from NFL.com, and there was one of the articles that was listed, and it said, Nacua believes San Fran's window closes if Purdy makes more than $50 million per year. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. The only Nacua that I can think of is Puka Nacua. I guess he's got a couple of brothers that are playing in the UFL right now, but Puka Nacua, I know Puka Nacua's, you know, on the Rams, their division rival, but why would he really say that about the Niners and Purdy? That can't be. So I thought there's got to be somebody on the NFL.com staff with the last name Nacua, and it's just a coincidence that there's also a guy that plays in the division. But no, it was Puka Nacua saying those things. He had recently done a podcast with Julian Edelman, and the podcast is called I Have No Idea. Is the podcast called Games with Names, or
that's
is that a
one.
Different podcast? It's called that?
Yep.
What about their... So that's different than...
Yes, it is a different entity. Everybody has multiple podcasts now. I'm with you. I did not know this was a thing until I actually researched this cut.
Okay, because Dudes on Dudes is with Gronk and Jules.
Yeah, which is really, as the kids say, that podcast title's pretty sus.
Yeah. I mean, it's confusing. If you're gonna, you know, just do the one thing. Like, if you have the Bart Winkler Show, don't also do the podcast Into the Winklerverse, available wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, that would be very confusing.
It's confusing, man. It's confusing. But no, it was Puka Nacua who said these things about Brock Purdy on the podcast with Julian Edelman.
Brock Purdy, is he going to get a 5?
I don't think so.
Do you think he's going to go with a 4? It's going to start with a 4.
Yeah.
A high 4?
No.
I think mid four. A 45?
I think so. I mean, I think
if he does that, that'd be smart for him and them.
Yeah. I mean, I think he seems like a smart guy. I think he, like, they have a chance to still be in their window. And I think if he goes for a 5, the window closes.
Yeah. We don't know either if George Kittle is satisfied with his deal. He's got to work that out. I think they're still negotiating with, there's somebody else. Is it Fred Warner? They're still negotiating. Somebody else that wants an extension that hasn't gotten it up to this point. Brock Purdy's interesting. I thought for sure we would know by now how much money he was going to be making. I thought he would have signed his deal by now. The fact that he hasn't leads me to believe that they have not come close to an agreement. $55 million is what it was projected to be at a certain point. Then they didn't do as well. They've been shuttling pieces off their roster to make room for Brock Purdy. I think if I'm Purdy, I'm not taking a discount. Look, if the going rate for a quarterback right now is 52, 55, that's what I want. Jed Yorks called me a top 10 quarterback. Well, pay me like a top 10 guy. That'd be in the $50 million range. Going to talk some NFL draft coming up in about 8 minutes. Billy Ray in Oceanside, I got about 90 seconds for you. My man, what's up?
Slice bread, wonder bread, how you be?
I'll be good. How you be?
I've been out of town in El Salvador for a month, man, speaking the international language of love. Let me ask you something, though. We'll get
like
right
on purpose?
Part. I miss you, man. I miss you. What's that? Yeah, I was down there having fun with some crew, not with the deportees. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, check it.
I don't know.
With the NBA playoffs heating up, which first-round matchup do you think has the highest upset potential, and which star player has the most to prove this postseason, Bart? Talk to me, man. It's been a while.
All right. Well, I think the Lakers need to be worried about their size when they're matched up against the Timberwolves, but I do think they figure that out. I think the Pistons, that was a nice win for them, but I think the Knicks figure it out. I guess the Warriors, if they're the 7, but I don't think they weren't the underdog. I don't know. Bucks, Clippers, a 5 seed.
thanks for being so exact, Bob. what it is. Listen, which play do you think, if you could specify maybe one player instead of six this time, which play you think has the most to prove? I believe it's Jason Tatum, because the Celtics done been so close, but just hadn't tasted the sweet nectar.
Well, Billy Ray, thanks for the call. Tatum's interesting. I would like to see him, you know, win a championship not being carried by his role players. I think if Damian Lillard and Giannis could get on the floor together, that would be a good one. I guess I'll stop there. I don't want to give you too many options. I'll cut it off there. Most approved player, most approved. Well, Mikal Bridges is getting crapped on tonight, so he could be a good one. I'll go with that in the spirit of the Knicks loss to Detroit. We'll come back, talk some NFL draft. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.